turn now in the Old Testament to Genesis chapter 25. We will consider this morning the first 10 verses of Genesis 25. I titled this sermon, a couple of things here. The bulletin only has the one, but the outline has the other. Abraham's third wife. There's a biblical trivia question. How many wives did Abraham have? You see here, he got married a third time. But the next one gets to the heart of the theme for these 10 verses. Abraham, the father of many nations. That's a very literal statement. Very literal. And we see that here in these 10 verses. Let's pick up our reading of Genesis in chapter 25, start at verse 1. Hear now the word of God. Now Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore to him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. Jokshan became the father of Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letzium and Lemim. These sons of Midian were Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abdiah and Eldada. All these were the sons of Keturah. Now Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts while he was still living, and sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the land of the east. These are all the years of Abraham's life that he lived, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man and satisfied with life. And he was gathered to his people. Then his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zaar, and the Hittite facing Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried with Sarah his wife. It came about after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac lived by Beer Lahai Roy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage that is so many times overlooked, read, but overlooked. And we pray that your Spirit would indeed bless this time by opening up these words, showing us our Savior, Jesus Christ, that he indeed would speak to us this day, comforting us with the gospel. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, here we have one of those biblical passages that is, as I've said already, read over, overlooked, another way of putting that, and had little attention paid to it. Not sure why. It explains a lot of the challenges that is to come later in the Bible, but it is overread. And so we must be reminded at this moment of the doctrine of Scripture. Every time we step into a genealogy, we got to be reminded of the doctrine of Scripture. What Paul says to Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, that all Scripture, not just the parts we like, all Scripture, even the numbers, all Scripture, the censuses, all Scripture, the genealogies, all Scripture is inspired by God. Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on to explain to Pastor Titus, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Think about the Heidelberg Catechism questions we consider today. That's that training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Paul puts preaching, centers it on the Word of God, not the local newspaper. It's this. This is what we are to preach, and it includes verses 1 through 10 of Genesis 25. And so now as we step into this passage, we must consider the biblical background, the background of this passage. This theme, in fact, helps us to have a hook as we begin to rake through these words and pull up the rich soil of God's Word. We learn that God keeps His promises. Well, that's a theme for the Bible. But we learn this here. Abraham fathers many nations. That's a promise of God. Abraham fathers many nations. The focus is on the promises of God fulfilled in Abraham's third marriage. His third marriage. Abraham is the father of many nations. It's going to be the first point. It's important important this morning that you come to find Abraham as the father of many nations. The nations become a term that we use as Gentiles. He becomes the father of many nations. This comes from, if you have your Bibles open, you can quickly turn there in Genesis 17. Just turn a few pages over and you see that it comes out of these words in Genesis 17, 4 through 7. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. He repeats himself. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations, an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And what a lot of biblical scholars do is they say, well, that's talking about long time future. And they forget that Abraham fathered 8 sons. 1 with Hagar, 6 with Keturah. 1 son of promise, but 8 sons in all. So do not overlook this promise. This promise is fulfilled here. He is the father of many nations. God changes his name from Abram to Abraham because of this. Because of this, he will be the father of many nations. And there are many today who can call Abraham father. That's where we're headed. That's where we're heading. So as we consider this promise and the God who delivers on his promises, let us consider this, what it means to look at this promise and see that God delivers on his word. Verses 1 through 4 tell us this. The point, the reason why we have this. He remarried. After Sarah's death, he remarried a woman named Keturah. The Bible again calls her a wife, calls her a concubine. The point is, this is one of his spouses. He remarried. She bore to him 6 sons. The one that we are going to focus on, we could focus on any one of these, but the one that we're going to focus on is the one that the Bible highlights specifically, and I trust when we read through it, you picked up on that. Midian. Now they have a land, not quite east, but they have a land, a part of the land in between Israel and Egypt. And we'll see that. We'll focus on that son, Midian. The biblical account testifies that Midian became a nation, which God would use in many ways. One is a redemptive way, and the other one is more of a chastening manner, which at the end of it was redemptive too. First, one does not leave the book of the Moses' book here, Genesis, without finding out that Midian becomes a nation of threat. They have an army. You can find that in Genesis 36, 35. They are at war among the people in the land. So even in the book of Genesis, they become a military might and a military threat. Secondly, they do possess a land, not quite east, but it's south and it's east, and it can be south and west also. But it's the land that Moses is exiled into in Exodus 2 and 3. In fact, Moses marries into a Midianite family. Jethro was the priest of Midian. Zipporah, his wife, was the daughter of Jethro, Midianite. The people would end up being around that area in the land of Midian for some time. This is where we, in fact, find Mount Sinai, is in this area, is around the flocks of Jethro, the Midianite. While at the same time, this acts as a place, a safe zone for the people for a while. It also asks the Midianites act as a chastening rod of God. For if you turn to Numbers 22, you find that it's the elders of Moab and the elders of the Midianites who sent Balaam to try to curse the people of God. And it becomes their temptation that keeps the people wandering around in the wilderness. There's the Midianites again. Thirdly, when you turn to the book of Judges, you find out that during the ministry of Gideon, it is the Midianites who are oppressing the people. They fell into gross sin. God raises up the oppression of the Midianites upon the people, and it is Gideon who delivers them from these children of Abraham, the Midianites. And so what we find is clear. Nations rise and nations fall by the hand and by the word of God. We see this with God keeping his promises with Abraham. Abraham has become the father of many nations. The father of many nations. Verse 4 ends with the positive, God affirming his word to Abraham. All of these were the sons of Keturah. Not the sons of the blessed wife Sarah, but of the concubine Keturah. And they were sons of Abraham, not just Israel, but even the Midianites are children of Abraham. As well as, we'll see next week, the Ishmaelites. God has blessed Abraham, and now Abraham blesses his sons in verse 5 through 6. There we see that he gives everything that he has to the son of promise, to Isaac. And he gives some more, not everything, but he gives different things to these other boys of his sons of his concubines, which would include Ishmael. He gave them the land of the east, out of the land of promise. That's the important point there. The promised land was given to Isaac. Everything else was given to these other nations. And so 2 points must be seen here with these two verses. First, in verse 5, we find Abraham seeking to keep God's word. Genesis 17, verse 9 says, Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. It is through Isaac that the seed will come. Here we see Isaac. Isaac is the son of blessing. Not Ishmael, not Midian, but Isaac. God will indeed bless these other sons, but it is going to be through Isaac that the salvation is brought to the world, through the son of Isaac. This is why the promised land was given to Isaac, to secure a place for the seed to be born, so they would be safe. In other words, the Old Testament church knew where to look for the Messiah. It'll be in that land. It'll be in that geographical location. When the Messiah came, we actually find out that the whole world is his. Not just that little bitty piece of real estate. The land becomes unimportant the moment the Messiah places his feet in the land. The whole world is his. The cross becomes the center focus of the Bible. Yet there's more in our passage. Isaac receives the blessing from his father. But the other boys receive an inheritance. They receive something. They're not left empty-handed. And this is, in fact, to keep Isaac safe. All these other nations are going to be warring. You see this later in Genesis. And so they are given something in order to safeguard that Isaac has remained safe. And so in verse 6, we find that Abraham gave his other sons the land to the east, which is where Moses and the Israelites, they would wander around west, south, and east, all the way around the promised land before they finally enter. And so they're going throughout relatives' country, their kin's country, kinsmen. The land of Midian has been a blessing to the people. This is where the law of God was given to them. This is where they remained for some time. This is where the nation of Israel was established. This is where elders were brought. Think of Jethro the Midianite. He was the one that said, hey, you need to establish elders. So we have the office of the church established in the land of Midian. much to be thankful for here. But what is important, besides all of those other things, and they may be peripheral to the center and the purpose of this, all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, 2 and 3, God makes this promise to Abraham. As he takes him up out of his father's land, he says, "And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth, in Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed." This is what God has done with a singular focus and a one purpose. This has been the sole promise. It is seen in Genesis 22:18. "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." These nations, these sons of Abraham, were established. Particularly Isaac was given to establish and to bring forth the seed. And then these other children of Abraham will be blessed through the seed of Isaac. Before we go there in application, let's continue in our passage. In verses 7 through 10, we see that this great patriarch dies. He passes away. Even here, even in these words, we find God keeping his promise. If you still have your Bibles open, quickly turn to chapter 15, verse 15. That's easy to remember. Genesis 15, verse 15. There we find another promise of God given to Abraham. Another promise that tends to be overlooked because that in the context there, it's talking about his children going into Egypt. But it says there, "As for you," now that's in respect to his children going to Egypt, "As for you, Abraham, you shall go to your fathers in peace." That's talking about death. "You shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age." That's a promise. Don't overlook that. That's a special promise given specifically to Abraham. Now, many of us know how old we're going to be. Abraham had an idea. He had an idea. And this is seen with Abraham's life and death. That's a promise. You're going to grow old. And you're going to die a good death. You're going to have a long life. God gives him children. Isaac is the one of blessing. God blesses him with this third marriage by giving six more boys. This is huge, for God has taken what he was considered dead. He was too old, and miraculously gave him the vigorous of life, and he's got eight sons. Abraham has become the father of many nations. Two nations are seen here now with the burial of their father. They gather to we'll see Isaac and Ishmael in a moment, but notice in 7 and 8, he is gathered to his fathers. This again is a fulfillment of that promise in Genesis 15:15. All the years of Abraham's life that he lived, 175 years. It's verse 7, verse 8. Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, fulfilling Genesis 15, verse 15. An old man satisfied with life. He died with a smile on his face. And he was gathered to his people. Before we see Isaac and Ishmael coming together, let's consider this long life, this old age. God has indeed blessed Abraham with a long life. The only way to explain this is by the hand of God, the blessing of God. God's blessing is upon Abraham. As God said back there in Genesis 15:15, here we see God keeping his word. God keeps his word. Abraham did live a long life. He died a satisfied man. Abraham sees God keeping his promise. He was in the land of promise, with the son of promise, being blessed to father many nations, and already seeing his descendants grow and spread across the earth. God has kept his word, and this is why. Notice this. God has kept his word, and this is why Abraham dies happy. While at the same time, we find great hope of someone dying in the Lord when we read these words. He was gathered to his people. Great hope. Sit down. Great hope. This is a beautiful proof of life after death. Beautiful. Notice two things there. There is a life after death. Abraham went somewhere when he died. He was gathered to a place. A better translation would read, just like Genesis 15:15, he was gathered to his fathers. He was gathered to his fathers. Not just his people, but to his fathers. This points to this reason for having genealogies in the Bible. Because we find out who he is a descendant of. He's a descendant of the woman. Not of the serpent, but of the woman. So he's included with Abel. He's included with Seth, with Enoch, with Noah. He's included with all of those men that stood righteous before the Lord by faith. These are the fathers of Abraham. Others would call this, in fact, it's mentioned one place in the Bible, he goes to Abraham's bosom. It's not Abraham's bosom yet, but that's basically where he's gone, to be with the Lord. Heaven. This is where those who die in faith go. Moses shows us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He goes to his fathers. Secondly, notice what Moses does not say. He does not say he went to Sheol. That's absent. That's not what is mentioned here. Those who die in faith go to the Lord, not to Sheol. That's hell. That is hell. So this is going against, directly against the abominable doctrine that people who die in faith go to purgatory, a building adjacent of hell. A next door neighbor. No. You die in faith, you go directly to glory. You go to heaven. You go to be with your fathers who have gone before you. You go to be with the saints. There's nothing else that you need to do. You are gathered. That's a passive. You're not having to go. They're gathering you. They're taking you up and you're going to glory. This is beautiful. This is nothing to be afraid of. God is taking care of you, even after you die. So we see this distinction between the seed of the woman, go to heaven. The seed of the serpent, go to Sheol. Go to hell. Now, we see the funeral service in verses 9 and 10. The two sons of Isaac and Ishmael, they bury their father in the only piece of land Abraham owned. Machpelah. Even Jesus did not own his burial plot. Abraham did. Jesus didn't. He is our suffering servant. But notice this. Isaac and Ishmael reunite in order to bury their father. He is buried next to his wife of blessing. That will be the same for Isaac. Isaac will be buried next to Rebekah. That will be the same for Jacob. Jacob will be buried next to Leah. 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 I looked at him and said Leah. 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 Not Rachel. Rachel will be buried in Bethlehem. But Leah and Jacob will be buried here. In the family cemetery. That's important. That's important. The reason why is because that's the husband and wife where the promise goes through. Leah will be the mother of Judah. Judah will give birth to the coming seed. And so we see this. The blessed marriage. They are even together. Buried together. And when they are raised together, they will be raised together. This is the peace of the gospel. This is the peace that is the gospel when a family comes together to grieve the loss of a loved one and to see the gospel message of the body going down to the grave, one day being raised to new life in Christ. We notice Isaac and Ishmael are separated by the gospel. Paul points this out in Galatians. They're separated by the gospel, but for the sake of their father, they come together for this funeral service. Isaac does not compromise. Ishmael has to come to him. And they bury their father in a Christian service with the gospel. This is an opportunity for Ishmael to hear the gospel. Notice none of Keturah's sons are mentioned here. That's not because they weren't there. It's just these are the two oldest sons, and they are taking care of their father. What is important is the Christian service of the dead is seen in these words. When it comes to the death of a believer, we're sometimes called to sit next to somebody we disagree with, but we're never called away from the gospel. We may be called to talk to those people that have wronged us in the past and to visit with those people that we can't stand. But we are never called to be away from the gospel. This service was amongst those of the promise, in the land of promise, looking forward to the seed of the promise. That's why he's buried there with Sarah. That's why Isaac is overseeing this. This has got to deal with the gospel. See, it's with a Christian funeral that we see God being gracious to the tens of thousands that follow. That even at the funeral service, he declares his good news. Jesus Christ preaches to the people the gospel. Families are reunited by the gospel at a Christian funeral. And that's what we see here. We're not told if Ishmael repented and believed, but we see for a time he sits under the gospel. And he hears it. He hears it. He's reminded of it in this Christian funeral. See, this has been the main promise given to Abraham, that we see it here even with his death. Two great nations are brought together in order to bury their father. The Hebrews under Isaac and the Arabs under Ishmael. They're brought together out of respect for the father. This is only accomplished by the gospel, not by compromise, but by the gospel. And this has been the whole point of the life of Abraham. Genesis 22:18. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. This is why we read Galatians 3, particularly verse 16. The heart of the gospel. Now the promise. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, to your seed, that is Christ. It is in Christ that the nations are blessed. It is in Christ that families are reunited. It is in Christ we hear the gospel. We see that here. Many nations come out of Abraham. Many nations are blessed by Christ. Many families are come out of Abraham. Many families are blessed in Christ. Christ is the point of Abraham's life. He is the seed. And now here we are, many nations sitting in one room. Guess what we have the honor to do? Call Abraham our father in Christ. Here is the death of one of our patriarchs. And when we die in faith, we go to our fathers. They are with Christ. and that is where we will be. One of these days, we'll be in the Lord. We'll be in glory. With Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, in Jesus. This is where one of these days we will be. This is our hope. And this is the glory of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. Merciful God, we do thank you for this time and this passage, and we pray that you may continue to work this confidence in us that when we die, where we go is with the Lord. We pray all these things now, and we pray as our Lord taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.